Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing?
I'm great. Hey, guess what? Kenny Rogers is coming to Chastain.
Getting closer to you. Getting closer. Inching towards your house.
Getting closer. I think I might have to see Kenny Rogers at Chastain.
A little backstage.
Oh, I would love that. Hey, you know there's only a couple things that excite me more than Kenny Rogers.
Cooking.
Cooking, healthcare, and female-owned businesses.
There you go.
I love a female entrepreneur.
That's right. And we got a room filled with them.
Smart women. Gotta love smart women. First up this morning, we have a very smart woman, actually listed it as the Atlanta Business Chronicle's top women-owned businesses. She's in the top 10. Very, very impressive. Zenith Design Group owner and founder, Bonnie Buckner-Rivas. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Bonnie, you went to Berry College. Tell us about that.
I loved Berry. I went to Berry, I guess, primarily to get a small hometown feel without having to be a number in a larger institution, as I referred to them. But no, I loved it. I stayed all 4 years, stayed all summers, stayed in Rome thereafter, and I just loved it. It's a great nurturing environment to grow both educationally and personally.
Were you from Atlanta?
I'm actually from South Georgia, from Tifton, and had lived in Marietta high school years. So I want to go somewhere just far enough away, but not too
far away.
Their programs are very impressive, the work studies, and it seems like it's an interesting approach to education.
It is, and it really goes back to the founder, Martha Berry. She had a very, very strong work ethic, and it's nice to be able to offset some of the tuition with the work-study program. So through a combination of scholarships, and almost everyone on campus works either on campus as their first choice or off campus.
That's great. So after that, you were in the furniture industry. Then tell us about the Institute of Nuclear Power Operations. That's a hop.
It was a hop. And don't be too impressed. I actually didn't do any nuclear engineering, but I worked in a number of capacities there. They are a lesser-known organization because they don't do any lobbying in the industry. They are there exclusively to make sure that the nuclear power industry domestically stays safe. They have an international counterpart as well that is housed in the building. But it was very interesting to learn the other side of nuclear. And it's actually interesting to hear it in the political debates today and see that people are actually starting to appreciate the fact that nuclear energy, once we can dispose of the waste properly, of course, there's that caveat, but is an interesting alternative.
So then you ventured out and started Zenith Design Group, gosh, almost 10 years ago.
Yep.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. This is our 10th year. We're very excited about it. I actually founded it as a web development company, and by company, I mean it was me and my home office pounding away at the keyboard and trying to juggle clients and projects, and it was that way for a few years, and then we decided to grow.
So how did that take place? What was when did you know that you were going to grow beyond just the web company?
I got tired of saying no to projects, not knowing how to do print and not knowing how to do anything beyond just web. I really got tired of turning away clients, and they were begging me to do more. So I partnered up with a group of folks and would bring them on as freelancers or contractors. And
were they individuals, or was it another company?
No, I think for the most part it was all individuals, and managing that became a full-time job.
So that became your new job.
That was my new job, is managing, not doing, which I don't like. So eventually we moved and got some office space. I think it was about maybe the fifth year, and took on a partner temporarily, and have since bought the business back from him. But it was very instrumental to have someone who knew the other side of the business, the print work, the identity, and just kind of evolved from there.
So tell us a little bit about the role reversal in your family. I understand your husband stayed home with the kids. We have a lot of stay-at-home moms on the show that then branch out into entrepreneurship, but tell us a little bit about that.
It's great. It's the perfect scenario. My son is 2 years old now, and my husband stayed home with him as a stay-at-home dad. He left his job in corporate. He was with Bell South. And although he enjoyed his job, he wasn't as passionate about it as was I. So it made sense to do that. He now works part-time at the agency, and when he's not there, is full-time stay-at-home dad, and it's wonderful. It allows us all to grow and to prosper.
That's great. So some of the factors that led to your growth, can you fill us in on those?
Yeah, it was very organic and at a very controlled rate. As a business owner, I think my greatest fear has been growing too fast, and I think a lot of women in particular always want to please their clients and say yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you set yourself up for failure if you're not properly prepared for that. So we, ironically, as a marketing company, this is the first year we've really done a lot of communications for our own company. It's been word of mouth and referral, repeat business, almost exclusively. I think I can count on both hands the number of quote-unquote cold calls. Wow. Or just people that have fallen in through the website. But it's all been very referral-based and repeat business, and the marketing director will leave one company and take us to their new one. So, and that ultimately leads to a much more sound, strong, relationship-based business, which is what we are.
What kind of clients do you typically deal with?
We do everything from the widgets and gadgets, the retail side of things, to we do some work with publishing kids' magazines for the Royal Ambassadors Program, which is a Southern Baptist branch. And it's fun to do those things, and it also is nice to have the component of the more corporate side of things.
Do you work for big corporations, like with their marketing department?
Sometimes we do, yes. We're very flexible. We'll work with companies that have a startup idea, the Marietta Trolley, actually. I don't know if you've seen it around. They've been around mm-hmm. for about a month now. They're very excited about their business, as are we. And they saw something that we had done, approached us, and we helped them do everything from the logo to the signs on the actual trolley, website, printed pieces, etc. But then we also work with companies where they have sometimes a full-time staff of marketing folks already on payroll, but due to work overflow or shifting priorities, or even sometimes when someone will go on maternity leave or take an extended sabbatical, they need help, and we can come in and be a nice complement to that without necessarily getting in the way of their normal stuff.
So. Right.
So you've been completely self-funded. That's kind of rare. You know, for a startup company, usually people have some type of backing. What mm-hmm. kind of inspiration can you give to those listening who, you know, have the drive and really want to start something? How do you go about it on a lean budget? I know your mantra of on time, on target, on budget.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell us how you started.
Well, it was only recently that I realized how rare it is to be completely self-funded, particularly through 10 years. And I will say that not everyone can do that, because I didn't have to have a whole lot of overhead.
Mm-hmm.
I had, you know, the standard equipment of, you know, a couple of Macs and phone lines and a fax machine is basically what I had to begin with. Substantially more than that now. But it's nice to be able to know that if you just reinvest in the company, and a lot of people like myself will take a greatly reduced or waive salary for a couple of months, but I always wanted to reinvest back in the company and not have to worry about paying someone else every day, just work on satisfying the clients. And at the end of the day, I've got to go to sleep and not have to worry about all of that. So
that's great. So you've been named Atlanta's top women business owned companies by the Atlanta Business Chronicle. Being in the top 10 after 10 years, I mean, that's a pretty big accomplishment. What do you see yourself doing 10 years from now?
Oh, gosh. Actually, I've had that question asked a lot of me recently, and I want to continue to sustain the quality of the creative that we do, the relationships with our clients, and have a good time doing it. Where that leads us as far as growth and numbers, I don't foresee exponentially continuing in that path, just because I don't think we could maintain that rate that fast and not have something slip. And it's very important to me not to have growth for the sake of growth, but just to grow the product and to add to our team and continue to do quality creative that really breaks through all of the marketing and collateral that's out.
How do you break down your work now? How much of it is web-based and how much is print? Like how
web's probably only about 20% of what we do now.
Wow, so it's drastically different company.
It's drastically different
than when you started.
It is, and it's a good mix. My Achilles heel has always been boredom. So I like new clients, new industries, new venues, and new deliverables. and it keeps our team fresh and excited, and that, I think, is what's instrumental to propelling our growth.
Do you prefer business-to-business or business-to-consumer, or does it matter?
Doesn't really matter. I mean, the same marketing principles apply. We, a lot of times, will come up in an RFP and be bidding against competitive companies that have specific industry experience in, you know, client X. And I often say, you know, we didn't know how to do kids' publications to a very specific group until we actually got that charge. And
right.
We've just actually received a couple of awards for that based on an international competition. So we like the challenge, and I think a fresh eye is always a good thing to bring to the table. So.
Right.
So what is the riskiest step you've ever taken as a business owner? I always have to ask that because, you know, everybody's got one where they were kind of toying with an idea and then they made
right.
the decision.
Well, it was more than toying with it because my riskiest step, what pops to mind is I fired our biggest client, and it was due to a collections problem. And after a certain point, you just have to sever that and think, well, yes, I may be giving away future billables, but I can't allow it to continue. So walked in with a stack of overdue invoices and plopped them on the desk and said, you know, we've very much enjoyed our working relationship. We very much enjoy the creative. We've had a lot of successes there, but we just can't continue. And that was probably the gutsiest thing because at that point, that probably represented 20% of our billables.
Wow. Yeah, that had to have been scary.
So can you,
it was scary.
I think listeners would kind of appreciate, like, what was your thought process prior to that happening? Like, I'm sure you were nervous and
very.
You know, you. So what happened? Did you kind of practice how this was going to go, or
yes,
went
and it went
it?
Nothing like that. No, it really was just a lot of really thoughtful consideration. And you know, at the end of the day, though, I started this company basically to be able to choose who I work with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, whether it's the team that we have working in the office and outside of the office, or the clients, or our vendors and partners, I love being able to choose who I spend my life with,
mm-hmm.
you know, work professionally and personally. And that just was not a good fit anymore.
Right.
So it turned out, obviously, we were fine. That was several years ago. And I actually stopped by and bought a bottle of champagne on the way back to the office, took it in, told everyone about it. We popped the champagne and thought,
oh,
you know,
gosh.
We're going forward. And we have. So.
That's great. Do you see the economy, the current state of the economy, affecting your business at all?
Yes and no. We did, for a long time, focus quite a bit of our efforts on the residential real estate market.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done really good work there, as you may have heard, there are some little obstacles in their path now with the economy. So we've really scaled back on that portion of our business.
Mm-hmm.
But serendipity, fate, hard work, I don't know, other things have come in, and we've been able to grow the business despite that. And I do think that's a place that we'll go to once the market starts to allow them to start spending again in that.
Do you have any advice for women that are just starting out?
I think women or men, get the support of those closest to you, whether it's spouse or parents, or, you know, it cannot be stated enough how much that means to you personally. If you're starting a business, it you have to make sure all your paperwork is in place, you've made the decisions whether to LLC or Inc. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go home, you take your business with you, particularly
mm-hmm.
in those startup years. So having a good support system, not just professionally but personally, is monumental in making sure that you as an owner and as a person are going to be supported and strong enough to propel whatever your dream.
How was it having a baby during all this process? I'm thinking about, you have a 2-year-old, right?
I do.
I mean, just the emotions going along with the pregnancy and then giving birth and being a successful businesswoman and through all that, you really must have had a great support system at home.
Absolutely. I can't say enough about my husband and the folks at work. I mean, they were all stunned when I came back after 2.5 weeks of quote-unquote maternity leave.
Yeah.
But I also live a mile from work, so I was able to go in when I needed to and be able to take the time that I needed. It's been interesting, and again, without that support system, I don't know that I would recommend someone to try to have the lofty ambitions and, you know, try to start a family. So you really need to figure out what you're going to do, what your best approach is, and make sure that you've got everyone supporting you and being able to just fill in as necessary.
And I understand you work with all sizes of companies, correct?
Correct.
And what's the best way for someone to reach out and learn more about your services and engage you?
Probably the best way is to visit our website. We're zenithdesigngroup.com, and you'll get an overview for our company culture as well as what we do.
Your website's great, by the way.
Thank you.
I got a lot of information off that.
Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest today on the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We hope our listeners will find you inspiring and reach out and look at what success looks like. I mean, wow, that is incredible. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Next up, we have Jill Feltz. She's the owner and president of, and lead designer of Atlanta-based Compelling Creations. She's been in the business world for over 20 years, although she doesn't look that old. And we'd love to find out a little bit more about your business, Jill. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you, Amy, for having me. I feel honored to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Compelling Creations.
Well, we design sterling silver inspirational jewelry that we sell primarily through our retail website. And in the past few years, we've designed a virtual fundraising program to support nonprofits through the sale of our jewelry designs on our website. And most recently, we've created a new jewelry collection called the Cause Collection. And this is what we where we specifically take the logo of a participating nonprofit and create a pendant using their logo. And this is in order to raise awareness among our general customers nationwide for that specific cause.
That's pretty interesting.
How'd you come up with that idea?
Well, I'm a very visual person, and when I see logos, I think, oh, that would be such a pretty pendant. Mm-hmm. And then we are very passionate about giving back, and so I wanted to just marry the two, and found gengreen.org was my very first cause collection customer. They're located in Colorado, and they have a beautiful three-leaf logo.
Uh-huh.
And they inform, support, educate, and connect companies to become mainstream, make green becoming mainstream. And we designed a pendant for them and have put them on the website. So you can link through our website to learn more about gengreen.org, to create your own relationship with them. But 30% of all the sales of that specific pendant goes back to Gen Green.
Right.
Wow. So what charitable organizations do you support with your business?
Well, hundreds and hundreds nationwide. In addition to doing custom work for schools and camps and ministries, we have organizations that are national organizations such as Family Promise of Gwinnett. They are a national organization but have hundreds of chapters. And organizations such as Students Without Mothers, MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, that's another national organization that has many, many chapters. eWomen Network Foundation is an organization that I belong to that is a national organization with hundreds of chapters. And so each of the chapters can become a fundraising affiliate and generate 30% of the sale of any pieces of any one of my jewelry designs for their cause.
How does it work though? Like if my organization wants to work with you, like how do the fees work?
It is how I describe it to people is it is similar to when a student a school receives a Publix or a Kroger gift or not gift card but grocery card.
Right.
Every time you buy groceries, you swipe the card and a percentage
right.
goes mm-hmm. back to the school. It's the same thing.
But don't you have to create the...
So they...
Is there an upfront cost?
No, there's no fee to sign up for with us.
Really?
You sign up on our website. We're all about giving back. So my slogan is wear it and share it. And so people have brought people to my website and brought referrals to us for so long that it's our time to say thank you.
Wow.
And... But you sign up on our website, and once we see that you are a nonprofit, how much you give back to your programs, you receive a 6-digit code.
Mm-hmm.
Then anybody anywhere in the country that puts that code into our website generates 30% goes back to that organization. And the beauty of it is that it's not geographically bound. Mm-hmm. So Roswell Baptist Preschool is a fundraising affiliate, and they get orders from California because they sent mm-hmm. the code to the parents.
Right.
The parents send it to their families and their friends, and so they're generating sales from California.
And then what about the creating of the logo? In silver?
Yes.
How is that done?
That's separate. That would be, you'd be part of the cause collection. And it has to be, it has to be appropriate for jewelry. If it just has...
Right, like their name.
If their name, you know, you wouldn't wear that. You know, I wouldn't wear that. You wouldn't give it as a gift. But if it's a beautiful piece, if it is a beautiful...
If it's well-designed.
Well-designed logo, then the general population would wear it. And that, there's a $175 fee for us to transfer that into a mold. And then upon approval of the samples, you can either buy it wholesale and sell it on your own website. And we put it on our website also, drawing our general population that might not know anything about the cause.
But just like the design also.
Also like the design, right.
Mm-hmm. And then a portion of that goes back to the charity?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine oftentimes it's difficult to get some of these affiliates to think outside the box. I mean, it almost sounds too good to be true. How do you go about that?
We really try to help them to see no boundaries. It is, that is our biggest challenge, is to think that every single person in your organization has a Christmas card list, has sorority sisters, have their family, their friends, just to think exponentially. Mm-hmm. And all of those people have friends, family, Christmas card lists. So they're getting better and better at it. But it is virtual. It's 24/7. So if you can't sleep at 3 in the morning and need to order your mother a Mother's Day gift, you can go online, order it, and we ship it directly to the customer.
Lee, have you gotten your mom a Mother's Day present yet? It's
yes.
My job to remind you.
You.
Actually, it's your. You should probably get your wife something, too. You
yes,
know?
It's my kid has to get her.
He can't drive, so you have to help him. So how did you start, and where have you grown? I mean, you've obviously come a long way, and now you're finding it's important to give back. Can you kind of lead us through that
take
process?
Take us through that beginning of your jewelry making days.
The jewelry making days. Well, I designed, I was doing a lot of custom work. It actually started with pacifier clips.
Oh, wow.
I had a pacifier clip line called Classy Passies. And then customers would ask me, could you make such and such for my school? So then I started making specific
again,
logos for the school.
Again, listening to the customer. That's the theme today.
And then a few years into that, I said to my husband, I should make my own design of jewelry, my own line. So that's where the inspirational jewelry came from. And then in 2005, I was at a conference, a school conference, and we were focusing on creating their mascots and their school crests. That's why we were there. And another jewelry designer who had a much smaller company than mine came up to me and said, you really should do fundraising with your jewelry. And I had been asked for so many years from small groups, church groups, youth groups, if they could fundraise with my jewelry. And I could never think of how we could do it efficiently. But computers have caught up with me.
Right.
And that is basically, you know, how efficiency is my middle name. So once this jewelry designer said that, that was interesting that she would suggest me going into competition basically with her. So that just triggered something. And I came home from that business trip, and my husband's colleague had a big stack of papers on my chair with a note saying, Jill, I think you should do fundraising with your jewelry. So it's two within 24 hours.
Wow, that's weird.
And the next day, a hospice called. This woman has always bought jewelry from me for gifts of comfort and asked if I had ever considered doing fundraising with my jewelry. And I said, no, but you know, you're the third person.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm looking around thinking, okay, I'm going to get zapped by lightning. And then the next day, a hospice called and she said, I'd love to do fundraising with your jewelry. And I said, well, I just talked to you yesterday. And she goes, no. And I said, yes, you know, we discussed this. And she said, yes, that's exactly what I'm interested in. And I said, you're the hospice in Mobile, Alabama. And she said, no, I'm in Mississippi. And so then I really realized there is a need for this. This is where I need to go. So computers, like I said, did catch up with us. And we could figure out a way where we could use our retail website to promote fundraising.
Now, what portion of your business is fundraising?
It's growing. Probably 80% is the retail website, And 40% now is the fundraising, and more people. All of a sudden, it's starting to snowball. It took us a little while to really get the word out and really help people think out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cause collection is continuing to grow. That's very recent for us in the last year.
Is one of your challenges is just to meet more, you know, charities that want to do this, or how do you go about getting them?
Really just getting the word out. Every single woman or man that comes to my website is a potential fundraising affiliate, mm-hmm. because everybody, if they're buying a gift for themselves or for, you know, a friend, they are all members of a school, church, youth group, or affiliate with right. a cause. So everybody is connected in some way to some nonprofit that could take advantage of this.
And people love to give back, too. We've noticed that a lot on the show. A lot of people really do love to give back. What advice would you give to another business about giving to a charitable cause?
I just say just do it. You know, you just need to know how much is enough in what you're going to make. And there's just nothing nothing like it about giving back and knowing that where the money, that some of the your creativity is going to help somebody else. John Clow from Sugarloaf United Methodist, their Beyond the Walls ministry is a big fundraising affiliate of ours. And he emailed me and he told me, he said, the fundraising literally has helped thousands of families in Nicaragua, orphans in Russia, and young men at risk in Dominican Republic, hurricane victims in Mississippi. And it just, there's just nothing... There's no, that's priceless.
It's a no-brainer, too. I mean, mm-hmm.
right.
gosh. Wow. Any advice you have to our listeners as to how to, you know, get a business started and what makes it successful?
I am a jump-in-with-two-feet type of person. So just, and the just do it slogan is so much of my personality. Listen is the main thing. Listen to what people are saying. Listen to those little God winks, as I call them, because you can be drawn in the direction that is your calling, and you will learn along the way. So don't be so caught up in the analytic
that side process. Of your brain. Just go for it.
You know, you'll know, and mm-hmm. people will come along your path, and just network.
It sounds like you do a great job of connecting people as well within your business.
That is one of my strengths, and that's really what the cause collection is all about. There are a lot of causes out there that we believe in, that we'd like to support, not just monetarily, but just bringing people to it. And all of those pieces are packaged with a special card, so when you buy a butterfly pendant, for instance, from my website, you will get the card that comes along with that will explain what the Erica Kate Foundation is all about. So you're not only giving a gift to your loved one, you're also letting them know what they're supporting.
That's great. What's the best way for someone to reach you?
Our website is compelling-creations.com, so it's my company name with a hyphen in between.
Wonderful. Jill, thank you so much for being with us today and for being on the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you.
We wish you all the best of luck. And to our listeners, I hope you found both of these incredibly successful women motivational, and you can get off your fanny and listen to your podcast while you're walking and thinking about some great inspirational thoughts on your own business. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto. And any final thoughts, Lee?
That's it. Great show again.
Wonderful. Have a great day.
Thank you.